This is the Blog This Podcast, episode 5.
Welcome to the Blog This Podcast. Jeff Mendelson and Hillary Faverman discuss digital marketing, social media, and entrepreneurship with a bit of snark thrown in for good measure, minus the hype and BS normally associated with these topics. Our take is a more practical approach to launching, running, and marketing your small business, finding your voice, and building your brand, all while maintaining balance with your actual life. Assuming you have one.
Hey, dude.
Hey, what's going on?
Things are good, man. Things are good. What I wanted to talk to you about today is social media.
Social
media. For a
number
of reasons.
All right. So are we talking social media like how to post pictures of what you just ate social media? Or are we talking about...
First of all, I do a lot of that because I'm a little obsessed with food.
Okay.
But no, we're talking about social media for business.
Business.
And I want to talk about what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, how to actually connect versus disingenuinely, is that a word, connect?
Sure, you can make it up.
I can make it up. I have writer's license, right? Mm-hmm. I want to talk about how I landed a client for my company on social media. I want to talk about blogging for free and what that can do for you and what it's done for me. And I want to talk about manners on social media. And what you can do and what you can't do and how you end up looking like a total prick and how you can avoid that.
Okay, so no pictures of kittens?
No, you just look pictures. Like a moron. You know, you look. There's like a difference between being offensive, being obnoxious, and being boring. Pictures of kittens are boring.
All right, so let's
boring I can handle.
All right, so let's set the stage. Twitter or Facebook?
Oh, that's a tough call. I wish I was better at LinkedIn. I am not fabulous at LinkedIn. I've jumped in with 2 feet. I'm trying to get involved in those conversations. Right. It is a time suck, man. Twitter's 140 characters. You can have casual, fun banter with a lot of people in a very small amount of time. You can do that on Facebook too. But with LinkedIn, we're talking about reading entire articles, commenting on them, having whole discussions on Facebook, joining groups and being active. It's a much bigger investment and I'm trying very hard to like get with it. But I find that given my personality that I like to quip and I'm often flippant and my personality goes better on Facebook and Twitter. But the thing about LinkedIn is people expect to be sold to on LinkedIn. It is the last vestige of a professional network. Even people who aren't on Twitter and aren't on Facebook, everybody's on LinkedIn because at some point you need to sell yourself. You need to sell your company. You need to sell your services. You need to be there for professional networking purposes. So people expect to be pitched.
All right. So let me ask you this question. First of all, LinkedIn got its start because it is for all practical purposes, it is a resume on steroids, right? I mean, that's the start of it, right?
Okay.
What I did, and I talked about this in our previous episode, where I, as a graduation present to myself, I paid a professional resume writer to create my resume. And basically what I did
$500.
Is, yeah, $500 later. But it was a present to myself. It was a good investment. But what I did is that I cut and pasted that resume to my LinkedIn profile. And then what that has the net effect of doing for me is that I get all the headhunters. I get at least 2 headhunters a week. Jeff, we have this excellent opportunity for you. It's based in North Dakota. It's in the beverages industry. Please come back to us. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, geez, come on.
Well, why is that doing you any good, though? You don't want to be in North Dakota. Hawking Beverages.
I don't want to be in North Dakota Hawking Beverages. Every once in a while, I get a tech one out there. But I got to ask you, is LinkedIn worthwhile for your professional image?
It's important like a business card used to be important.
Okay.
If you don't have, I mean, people refer to it. They mm-hmm. see my name and they look me up and that's one of the things that they see. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a completely filled out professional profile, no picture, wrong language, grammatical mistakes, if you don't look well-rounded, if you don't have recommendations, if you don't have enough connections, you look weak. So even if you're not going to use it as a proactive marketing tool, even if you're not going to be involved in groups and comment and make connections and be proactive, at least have your business card shiny. You're talking about handing someone your business card either in a pristine manner that comes right out of your little business card case Or you're talking about digging around in the bottom of your purse and handing somebody your business card that's dog-eared and stained from a cigarette that you were using in a bar 3 weeks ago, and it like stinks and it's kind of yellowed. It's really a matter of impression.
You don't have any of those business cards, do you?
God forbid. No. Oh, okay. No, I would never do such a thing. And I don't go to bars or smoke cigarettes or anything like that. So, you know, totally impossible. But you can understand the metaphor of the kind of thing I'm getting across in terms of, even if you're not going to use it as a proactive networking marketing tool, which you probably should, even if you're not going to because you can't bother or you don't have the know-how or you don't have the interest or you can't deal, you have to have a polished image on LinkedIn because people are going to look you up when they meet you either at a networking event or they see you online or they read one of your blogs or they go to your website. For example, when I do a sales call with someone, if I'm more or less interviewing someone to find out if my firm can help them, of course I'm going to want to be educated about who I'm talking to before I pick up the phone. I need to know who this person is. Are they super educated? Do they come from Ivy League? Are we talking about someone who has hopped jobs every year? Are we talking about someone who has worked for himself, wants to work for himself? Has someone, you know, what's their background? Are they blue blood? I need to know what stories to pull out of my bag to pitch them. People need to know.
So you use it as a pre-qualification tool?
For sure. I need to know to pull the Wisconsin out. You know, I'm from Wisconsin. So are you. I need to know if I'm using that cheesehead status or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're talking about somebody from Miami or somebody from LA or somebody from the Bronx, I better, you know, put that Wisconsin right back in the bag. Whereas if we're talking about someone from Minnesota, I can pull it out of the bag. Somebody from Michigan, I can pull it out of the bag. Somebody from Ohio. You know, are we in Summerfest season, which is the music festival that's huge in the Midwest? Are we dealing with snow right now? I mean, I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. A matter of a sales call, find any common ground you can. Did you go to the same school? Did your spouse go to the same school? Did you study the same thing? Do you have, you know, squash in common? I mean, you find any connection you can, and LinkedIn is a tool for that.
Let me ask you this. You have called yourself on a few occasions a Twitter hoe.
Twitter hoe. Yep.
Explain Big Twitter that. Hoe. Explain that. What is so appealing to me, Jeff?
It is so appealing to me. You can have conversations, snarky, quick, sarcastic conversations, relationships even, with people on Twitter. Let me say, for example, I met somebody at a tech launch in Jerusalem several months back. And he and I had some kind of, not like chemistry, like a dating kind of thing, because gross. I mean, his hair was long and ugh. So, but in terms of, he said bacon. Now I like bacon. I'm a big bacon fan. And there's not a lot of bacon to be had in the greater Jerusalem area. So when I hear someone in this area say bacon, I am immediately drawn to it like a fly, like a gnat. So I met him for, I don't know, 15 minutes and listened to the tech launch and it's a brand new company and blah, blah, blah. So he connected with me on Twitter afterwards. I've had a relationship with this man. He has sent me clients that might be interested in me. I've sent him clients that might be interested in him. I now know what he does and why he does it. He knows what I do and why I do it. We're following each other and we have sent each other professional contact. That does not happen after a 10 or 15 minute meeting. You need to have constant discourse with someone to turn them into a contact. From a business card meeting to a contact. It's not just bacon. Bacon can only get you so far.
But so you are professionally hoeing on Twitter
with this guy. I am professionally hoeing on Twitter. Not just with this guy, with many guys. Women. Sweet. Also with women. God, that sounds horrible. Also with women. I'm not sexist about my contacts on Twitter. Let me give you another example. When I was introduced to the idea of an initial free offering, and you're actually the person who introduced me to the idea of an initial free offering. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, I'm sure most people do because y'all are like light years ahead of me as far as digital marketing goes. An initial free offering is something that you offer on your website in exchange for capturing an email address. Mm-hmm. The way you explained it to me and what I now know, and I see that many people are utilizing, is something that is worthwhile, not an advertisement. We're talking about white papers, an ebook, something that is of value, that is giving information. You're basically giving advice away for free, your expertise away for free, a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. In exchange for an email address. And the reason, of course, that you want the email address is so that you can market to this person, you can send newsletters, you can, you know, they're opting in is what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine sent me to Barry Feldman of Feldman Creative, said, listen, he's got this ebook called The Plan, and it's great. And you're going to need to know about, you know, it directs you as far as social media and content marketing, what to do and how to do it and how often to do it and all these things. All you have to do is give him your email address. Okay. So I download it, I give him my email address, I opt in, and I become obsessed with this man. He's a hell of a writer. I have so much respect for what he has to say, his voice. He has a very strong voice. He's not afraid of anybody. He's been a writer for 25 years. He's worked for major top firms in Silicon Valley for the last almost 20. I mean, since tech has been big in California, he's been writing for them. His client list is a mile long. So I start stalking him on social media. Not like creepy weirdo leaving flowers on his car stalking. I'm talking about
a professional crush.
A professional crush. I'm, you know, retweeting him. I'm complimenting him. I'm reading everything he puts out. I'm circulating his content because I'm so impressed. Man reaches out to me about a month later and says, I see you're stalking me. And I said, yes, I am. All on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm interested in a virtual assistant. Let's speak. And an hour later, I spent an hour with him on Skype, and I've landed him as a client, and we've been working with him for about 7 months, and he's thrilled and we're thrilled. And that was my first client via social media. And it took less than a month, and I wasn't even gunning for this guy as a client. I was just impressed, and I was vocal about it because okay, so I'm vocal about everything.
All right. So let's back up for a minute. You did not actively search this guy out until you were referred to him by the grapevine, right?
Correct.
You did not actively go out and say, I got to get this guy as a client. And you did not know that he was in the need of a virtual assistant at the time.
Not a clue. I was just impressed.
So basically what happened was that there was this professional serendipitous moment that he said, I need to get with this lady. Is that accurate?
I guess so. We had an initial sales call, and I've been doing these sales calls for a long time. So I'm kind of on autopilot. It really is an opportunity, a sales call, to learn about someone's business in depth. And because I am actually interested in these people's businesses, I mean, we're talking about businesses that I've never considered, businesses I've never heard of, things that would never occur to me.
Doug, give an example.
Okay. We work with a guy in California whose business it is to evaluate manufacturing plants for insurance purposes and legal purposes. So he goes in, and his job from soup to nuts is to give a figure. Your land is worth this much. Your factory is worth this much. Your labor force is worth this much. All your machinery is worth this much. They need a number. He does it for ski resorts too. Okay. So you're talking about everything from deeds and titles to law. He needs an incredible amount of knowledge because he's going from manufacturing plant to manufacturing plant. I mean, who would have thought such a business even exists? You know, not that this is rocket science, but I'm curious and I'm interested to know how people are making a living out there, what they're doing outside of my world. I mean, that's about as far outside my world as you can get.
Right.
So because I'm genuinely interested on these sales calls and I don't have to just check boxes, you know, I'm not a customer service representative. I want to know not only how can I help you, but what is it that you're doing? Why are you doing it? How does it work? Where are you finding your challenges? And, you know, probably 20% of the time, my answer has to be, you know what? I can't help you. I want to, but I'm not the best resource for you. I want to refer you to A, B, or C that can help you because we're not the best resource. It does happen. You have to know your core competency. You have to know what you're good at and what you're not. We had talked about that in our first episode in terms of really knowing your strengths, understanding your weaknesses, understanding what you can delegate and what you should delegate and what you should keep.
What is the total amount of time would you say that you invested into landing Barry Feldman as a client?
4 hours.
That's a hell of a return on investment.
Probably 4 hours. No kidding. And, you know, he's a good guy. I love what he does. I love his voice. I'm thrilled to be working with him. Many of our clients keep the fact that they have a virtual assistant kind of on the down low. Barry does not. Barry's loud. So Barry puts his virtual assistant, Dina, up on his site. He puts her on his podcasts. He mentions her in his blogs. He mentions us. You know, we never asked for that. The reason he's loud about it is because he's thrilled with the service that he's getting. When you're giving awesome service and people are thrilled with who you are and what you're doing and what you're doing for them, it certainly doesn't hurt to ask for a reference or a testimonial, but they'll give them to you anyway, even if you don't ask.
So here's something that's always been bothering me then. How do you scale that? Because everyone is full of these, well, I made $10,000, you know, there's a lady on the Inspiring Innovation podcast, Maron Barekat. He interviewed a girl in her 20s. Through one tweet, one thing led to another. She ended up getting funded by Sir Richard Branson.
No kidding.
So the tweet that earned her $1 million. Think about it. I mean, it's a great podcast. We'll link to it in the show notes. Not everyone can duplicate that, right? Furthermore, how do you scale that? How do you make or drive those types of personal relationships on a regular basis? Now, I'm not saying you got to do it every week. I think you need to be either super gregarious or you just have to be out there. You have to have a much bigger infrastructure in order to do that. But let's say, for example, for people like us, freelancers, small businesses, things like that, I want one of those types of relationships per month. I'm happy with that. You give me one per month? Not so much that you give me. I don't want to make it sound like you're giving me something. It's actually you who went out and worked for it, right?
Well, part of it is about intention, because I wasn't looking for that. What I was looking to do was learn and listen and compliment.
So again,
that was my aim.
Is that something that you can scale from one person to the next? I mean, have you been able to say, for example, develop a list of maybe there are 10 of these influencers that I know of and respect that I can engage in the same way and see if I can get influencer number two, maybe not to be a client for my company, but for someone that I can hook up and say, you know, just say, you know, hey, I work with this person or I liaise with this person. Just like, I mean, every once in a while I name drop, for example, that, you know, that I listen to all these different podcasts, that I try to communicate with all these different people. And the truth of the matter is, using these tools that we have today, it's a click of a button. I mean, I can send a message to Pat Flynn and, you know, more than likely he'll answer. Why? Because he's a great guy and he's a super big influencer right now.
I think it's about being a resource. The second, I don't stalk that many writers because I'm totally going to end up sounding like a freak. There is another writer who I'm very impressed by. He blogs at the Times of Israel. His name is Jason Gilbert.
Okay.
Jason Frederick Gilbert. And I casually read some of his things from time to time. And I read maybe two or three and I was hooked. I went and I read all of his blogs for the last 6 months. And I messaged him on Facebook. We're not friends on Facebook. I messaged him on Facebook like a little fan mail. I mean, the guy is not, you know, hugely ridiculously popular. He's got some followers. And I said, you know what? I'm so impressed with your writing. I'm going to read everything that you put out. I don't need anything from you. I just want you to know that I think you're awesome. And since then, he reads everything I write. I read everything he writes.
Are you sure he didn't ban you?
Yeah, not yet. And I comment in all his blogs, and he has begun reading my stuff. And I have now referred him some work, and he's referred me some work. Things that are appropriate for me, they're not for him. Things that are appropriate for him, but not for me. My intention with Jason was not to get anything from him. I was just impressed. And I don't hand out being impressed very easily because I'm frankly not so easily impressed. So if I'm impressed and I'm excited, I want to share that. Think really good things have come out of it. Everybody wants to hear, wow, you're awesome. If you run around screaming,
I would
love
to hear. Can you tell me how awesome I am, please?
You're awesome, Jeff. You're awesome.
There's a great video about that, about being validated. I'm sure it's circulating. I'm sure you came across it.
I've written a million blogs about validation, believe me. Okay. So if someone in a genuine way is really very impressed, I mean, that's worth a lot. Even at networking functions, at conferences, if I'm impressed with someone's speech, someone's delivery, someone's elevator pitch, I will make it a point to follow up with them electronically afterwards and say, listen, I was really impressed with A, B, and C. They know I listened. They know I noticed. So we're talking about people from these kinds of conferences have not only referred me clients, but they've referred me employees. They've referred me people that I have ended up hiring because I have become a resource. I often will post job openings that have nothing to do with me on Facebook because I want to be a resource to my local community. And because I do that and everybody knows that I have a big mouth, people will come to me. I'm looking for something. I have something. Do you know anybody? And I become the person who can connect people. And it just comes from being a resource. It's worked very well for me.
So all of that said, what would you say are things that you should do and things that you shouldn't do on social media?
Don't ever send me a LinkedIn request, a connection request, if I don't know who you are and you're not introducing yourself.
Now,
ever, 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 please don't do that.
Now, wait, let me interject with that, because there is a subgroup of LinkedIn people that are called Lions, LinkedIn Open Networkers.
Okay.
Right? And what that basically means is that's like a slang cue, so that if someone reaches out, I won't refuse them. I will connect with them. I tried that for a while. I think my profile still says it, as a matter of fact. That's brought me up to about 500 people.
The magic number.
Yeah, the magic number. That's a number that afterwards, no one can tell whether you have 501 or 50,000 people.
Right.
So I'm not going to tell. But what I will
tell
you is
that, you, man.
Well, what I will tell you is that, A, you know, yeah, I'd say about 20 to 40% of the people are garbage. Meaning that these are people that I know for a fact I'm never going to have a business dealing with. When I look at their profiles and they have 8 people on it, it's like, I won't report them. I'll just ignore it. But then again, every once in a while, you'll get some people that are like, wow, from a prestigious business group located here in South Florida. Yeah, I'd like to connect with that person. I may not have an immediate need for you right now, but it's nice to know that I have someone like that within my network that I can immediately reach out. And since I'm still on the free version of LinkedIn, I don't have to pay for it because I'm already connected. That said,
and it's not necessarily about who you know. It could be about who they know.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that if everyone is on the same page that, hey, you know, even though, Jeff, I don't really know you that well, if I can make an impassioned pitch to say, hey, can you please connect me with this person that you are first degree connected to? I have found that 8 times out of 10, they'll pass on my message. And in that respect, it works.
It's a matter of how you're introducing yourself. I mean, I have introduced myself to people on LinkedIn who I have no connection to, who I've never met, who I share nothing with. Let's say I read a blog that I'm super empowered by, or impassioned by, or it informed me about something exciting. I mean, I read a lot of blogs. So I have reached out to people like that and said, read your blog about ABC, totally dig it because of X and Y, would love to stay in touch. That gets accepted.
That works. What else should you be doing on, say, for example, on Facebook for your business in order to get noticed, in order to gain more business? Because, no, frankly, that's why we're here.
I'm a big fan of humor. That's why we're here. I'm a big fan of humor. You got to mix it up. If you bore people or if you overpost, you're going to get ignored. For example, a friend of mine runs a nonprofit, and I love her dearly, but she spews. She's a spewer. I'm talking about 5-6 posts a day on the same damn thing all the damn time. And I just can't take it anymore. I cannot take it. You have to be at least minorly well-rounded. You have to keep people interested and intrigued, even if they're not going to necessarily comment or engage with you. You want them not to block you, not to say
ignore everything this
person says. You have to shake it up. Please don't be boring and please don't overpost. Not more than twice a day. Don't post on your business page more than twice a day.
Don't be that person.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. You don't want to be that guy. Don't be a spewer.
Sweet. Well, I got to tell you, one of the things that going back to one of my to my original question in the top of the podcast, Facebook or Twitter, right? So now, basically what we've come across is that Facebook is a much more rich platform, in my opinion, right? In that you're able to post pictures, you're able to say more than 140 characters.
Hey, man, you can post pictures on Twitter.
You could post pictures on Twitter, but you're still stuck at that 140.
Yes.
140 characters. I haven't dug into the analytics of it yet because, you know, let's face it, you know, and you and I have talked about this before. If it's not measurable, it's not interesting. Correct. So with Facebook, after I know that some of my fan pages have 1,000 fans, I can see the reach of how many people, you know, through their insights, I can see how many people are actually using it, sharing it, down the line. I'm sure Twitter has something similar. I personally don't see it. I think also what a lot of people suffer from is social media fatigue. I think right now we have the big three: Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, right?
Instagram is up and coming.
But it's yet another thing. It's yet another process that I have to think about and I have to get in
there. A lot of people love Instagram. I've never used it for business. I use it for personal. You know,
you take pictures of what you cook.
I can't take pictures of food. I take pictures of my kids. This is not a professional venture.
But you know that. All right. So going back to the Facebook, Twitter thing, you know that you can link so that anything you post on Facebook automatically gets posted to Twitter.
No, bad. Shame, shame, shame. Don't do that.
Why?
Because it's lazy and it's not genuine.
All right. So let's make this the last question then. How do you know whether your customers or your fan base or the people that you are trying to reach are more Facebook people? Let's call them the dogs, right? And,
dogs?
And Twitter people, the dogs.
Who are you calling dogs?
Just listen. And Twitter people, which are cats, you know, because we used to have those things, you know, either you're a dog person or you're a cat person. You happen to be both. I'm just a dog person, right? So I'm happy with Facebook.
First
because
of all, let's be clear. I hate all my pets and I'm waiting for them to die.
Oh, come on. Be nice.
Just so we're clear.
Okay. All right. We are clear. But still.
Can we reference When Harry Met Sally in this scenario? Because like when after they've slept together and then they're not speaking and then they're at a party together and he's trying to explain to her how they can get past this and he uses a dog metaphor and she looks at him and she says, Harry, am I the dog in this scenario? Anyway, go ahead.
I was totally hoping you were going to do that that scene in the deli.
Oh, so not. I'm so not doing deli scenes.
All right. Forget about that. All right. So. All right. So we established that we have Facebook people that like mm-hmm. to post pictures that like to draw out and can say a little bit more. And then we have the Twitter people.
I have not found Facebook as engaging, as profitable, as successful as a business medium as I have Twitter. Have
now
you?
What I will say is that since I am not as strong on Twitter as I should be. And since I can't attribute more connections to Facebook, I mean, for me, the reality is different. But then again, it's like somebody saying, I love Miami because I happen to live here, right? Besides someone, you know, who lives in Sandusky, Ohio, saying that they love Miami, but they've never been here. So it's another world for me.
Sandusky, Ohio.
Sandusky, Ohio, let me tell you. So what we're talking about here is that finding the best medium to engage with your audience. Is that accurate?
Indeed. And actually, many of the clients that I talk to who initially come to us, I mean, most of our clients are entrepreneurs. Some of them are small businesses, but most of them are one-man shows or one-woman shows. And they come and they say, I have to be on social media. People tell me I have to be on social media. Get me on social media. I want to turn that client away. We're not talking about buying ice skates, okay? We're talking about reaching your particular audience with your particular message. Should I be on Pinterest? Well, I don't know. Are you selling to men or women? If you're selling to men, no. If you're selling to women, what are you selling to them? Are you selling something for their babies? Are you selling cribs? Then probably. Are you selling life coaching, dating coaching? Probably. Are you a personal trainer? You better be on Pinterest. Are you selling vacuum cleaners? Yeah, probably Pinterest. Do you need to sell vacuum cleaners on Twitter? No. We're talking about knowing who your audience is, where they hang out, and where they already are. Be where your audience is. The first step is clearly knowing who your audience is, who you're targeting. How old are they? Where do they live? What do they read? How much money do they make? Let's talk about where they already hang out. Now insert yourself in that place.
That sounds like our next podcast topic. Just how to figure out where your audience is. I love it.
First, you got to figure out who your audience is, and you'd be surprised. I mean, I had a client come at me telling me he was selling a slender stender.
Stender? What's a stender?
That was the exact question I asked him, and he laughed in my face. Of course, it was on Skype, so it wasn't really in my face. Mm-hmm. But apparently, a stender is a book holder. It's something that, for example, if you're cooking in the kitchen and you want to put your cookbook propped open on some kind of a stand, a mini easel for a book. And people use them in a house of worship to hold a prayer book. People use them in the kitchen. And apparently, if you're going to be mobile with such a device, you need it to be slender. So thus, the slender stender. Now, I had no idea what he was talking about. So I had to, of course, look it up and figure out what he was talking about. So we had to go through a whole nine yards about who is in the market for a stender. Priests are in the market for a stender. Cooks are in the market for a stender. Where are these people? Let's break them up into three different audiences, figure out where those people are, and go there.
You could sell anything on the internet.
Selling stenders, man.
Nice. All right. Well, I mean, if you can sell Stender, so did you take that client?
Yeah. We work with Slender Stender Man.
Sweet. That's great. All right.
So
listen.
So far, so good.
We got an iTunes review.
Yeehaw!
Imagine that. So now, what I got to tell you is that first, you know, full disclosure, the review is from our interviewee from episode 4.
Ooh, Debbie Lewis.
Debbie She's Lewis. But I want to read it to you because it's just so funny. And it's just so, I think, talks a little bit about who we are. So it says, full disclosure.
Oh, dear God. Do I really want to hear this?
You really want to hear this. Full disclosure. Okay, shoot. I was interviewed for an episode of this podcast, but I would not have agreed to it if I hadn't listened to earlier episodes and decided it was going to be fun, interesting, and move discussion forward in an interesting way. Hillary and Jeff are as into learning as they are into sharing what they have learned. They talk about trends and ideas, and between them come to new conclusions that sometimes surprise even them. Also, can I say a bad word in an iTunes review? I'm going to try. There's no bullshitting these two. They can smell it and will follow up until they get the real answer they know everyone wants. It's entertaining, it's interesting, it's honest, and totally worth a listen. Debbie, thank you so much. That is
awesome,
great.
Deb. Thanks.
That is exactly what we envisioned this podcast to be. I'm very excited. It motivates me to make more of these. It really sets the stage, I think, for the next couple of podcasts where we hope to start bringing on some new guests, some new topics.
Jeff, did she validate you?
I am validated today. I am so validated. And yes, again, thank you, Debbie. This is great. So,
come give us more reviews. We need more reviews so we're not in, you know, the bargain basement back stacks of iTunes. Come review us.
Exactly. So, Hillary, it's been great. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Check you later.
Have a great night.
You've been listening to the Blog This Podcast with Jeff and Hillary. Be sure to check us out at blogthispodcast.com for more. That's blogthispodcast.com. Thanks for listening.